tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for the word of truth. Today, Father, as we open that word, I pray that you would open our eyes and our hearts to see wonderful things in your truth. Give us the resolve to align with your will and your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I'm so grateful that you joined us today. I read a list of quotes this week that were actually taken from insurance accident forms, and these are the actual words that people use to describe the unfortunate circumstances surrounding their accidents. Here's what they wrote. I thought my window was down, but I found out it was up when I put my hand through it. A truck backed through my windshield and into my wife's face. This guy was all over the road. I had to swerve a number of times before I hit him. The pedestrian had no idea where to go, so I ran over him. The indirect cause of this accident was a little guy in a small car with a big mouth. Another, I saw this slow-moving, sad-faced old gentleman as he bounced off the hood of my car. And then finally, I pulled away from the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and headed over the embankment. I think words are fantastic. And they're fantastic because they prove to be revelatory. The words written on those accident forms reveal something about their authors. Now, I'm going to let you figure out what it is they reveal. But their communication is revealing. And it's revelation that makes words powerful. Words have an unmasking effect. So my words reveal who I am and what I want. Just as Jesus said, it's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. So my words reveal something about me. But what's also true is that my words reveal something about you too. Your response to my words can reveal your mood, your ability to listen and be attentive. They can also reveal perhaps the way you feel about me. And what's true of our words is also true of God's words. God's word reveals who he is and exactly what he wants, his vision for the future, and in many ways, it reveals who we are. I read a story this week about a 6-year-old girl in Boulder, Colorado, who on presentation Sunday at her church received her Bible. And after the service was over, they went into the fellowship hall for a celebration, and a man walked up to her and said, "Can I look at your Bible?" And she said, "Sure, but don't open it." And he said, "Well, tell me, why shouldn't I open it?" To which she responded, "You'll let God out." I think she was right. It's God's word that reveals who God is. And so here's the question I want us to ask today. I want us to get real about. Have we let God out, or have we left him out? Have we let God out of the scripture and into our lives, or have we left him out? Now, predictably, the very pragmatic James addresses how we're supposed to let God out of the Bible and into our hearts. And the message he sends is crystal clear. If we're going to follow him, then we have to let him out and listen to and respond to what he has to say. So, do we let him out? Are we reading his word? Or have we left him out? Look what James has to say in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, his word. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. So my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, that evil that you think doesn't make a difference. Get rid of it and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Now, we have to understand, first off, that everything James says in that passage of Scripture is about God's powerful revealing word. And he makes three compelling points. First, he says we need to trust God's word. Second, we need to depend upon God's word. And third, we need to apply God's word. Now, we're just going to walk through those today. And I trust that you're dialed in, because my conviction is, and God's word bears this out, if anything is going to change your outlook and change your life, it's going to be God's word. So, what does James teach us about letting God out and letting him in? First, he says we need to trust God's word. Why? Because it's through the word that we become his children. It's through God's word that we become his children. Look back at verse 18. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Now, we need to think of the word of truth, which he points out in verse 18, as a two-sided coin. Okay, on one side, the word of truth reveals the truth about Jesus Christ. The book of John opens with these words. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Listen to this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now look down at verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, here's what John is informing us of. It's very important. Jesus was the Word of truth made flesh. Jesus was the perfect revelation of God. He made his dwelling among us so that he could shine his light, turn it on, and reveal the truth about God's love and his amazing grace. And with this as a background, James correctly points out that we were born again through the word of truth. It is through what Jesus did as the word of God made flesh that we were able to be born again and become children of God. He was the revelation of God in flesh. Now, on the other side of the coin, the word of truth refers not only to Jesus, the Word, but it refers to the written or the spoken Word of God. It is the Word, that Word, that reveals the story of Jesus and therefore initiates or instigates our faith. Listen to what Paul wrote in Romans 10:17. He said, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word about Christ. As the New King James Version puts it, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, the written word of God. Now, the written words of God reveals the truth. It reveals the truth about the word that was made flesh. In other words, Scripture tells us the beautiful story of Jesus. And if we trust the truth about him, then we become the children of God. As James puts it, he gave us birth through the word of truth, and we are a kind of first fruit. Now, we talked about this a little bit last week, but I want you to think about it. What is a first fruit? Technically, it is the fruit that ripens first. Then that fruit was offered to God. First fruits were always offered to God. They were always ripe. So what is the implication? Obviously, that we, born again through the word of truth, are first fruits. We are God's. And we should be ripe. We should be mature, as James said earlier, mature and complete, not lacking anything. Why? Because we must be ready to serve the one who sent the word of God to save us. So listen, it's not enough just to be fruit. We need to be ripe fruit. In other words, God wants us to be his children, but he doesn't want us to remain little children. He wants us to grow up and become mature men and women of the faith. Peter put it like this in 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3. He said, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Listen, God's vision for us as revealed in his word and demonstrated in Christ is for us to grow up. And the same word that made us his children is the word that will transform our lives. It will make us adults. So Peter says we must cultivate a craving for the word just as a baby craves its mother's milk. And that begins with trusting the word. And by the way, it leads to depending upon the word. Now, the second thing James says we need to do is develop a dependence upon God's word. What we need to understand in our minds and plant in our hearts is that the word of God is the lifeblood for the child of God, and therefore we must make it a priority. Now, we'll just pause right there and ask a question. How much of a priority is God's word in your life? I'm glad that you prioritized joining us today to study his word. But what's going on in your world Monday to Saturday? Have you prioritized? Do you have a dependence upon God's word? Look at verses 19 through 21 of James 1. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Sit up straight. Pay attention. This is important. He says everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Now, I know that most of the time when we read that passage of Scripture, we pry it right out of context and we say those words, particularly verse 19, those words are really about cultivating relational harmony with others. We have to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And that is true. That will help. But that is not what James is talking about. In context, these words are about the word. And he says he's trying to teach us how to respond or receive God's word. He says we need to learn to rely on, respond to, and harmonize with God's word, which, by the way, will help us harmonize with others. So this These verses are about how we respond to God's word. In verse 18, he told us that it was God's word that will make us children. Now he's saying that same word will make you an adult. That is, if you let God out, if you read it and let him in. If you train yourself to depend upon God's word by responding to it with discipline. Now, what is a disciplined response to God's word? Be quick to listen to God's word. Be slow to speak against God's word. Be slow to become angry toward God's word. It's about God's word. Now, let's unpack this just a little bit. Be quick to listen. What in the world does that mean? Well, I want to illustrate it this way. This week, we got a puppy. I don't know why we got a puppy. I'm not sure I wanted a puppy. Now I do. But we got a puppy. And by the way, she is so cute. I think we have some pictures of that's Maggie May. She is a very quiet dog. She's only barked three times this entire week, but she does whimper quite a bit. And since we're training her to go outside, I'm working diligently to distinguish between the whimper that says, hey, I need to go outside, and the one that says, hey, a little attention down here. So I'm quick to listen to her. I'm quick to listen to it all. And no matter what else is going on, no matter who else is talking, when I hear her begin to whimper, I am dialed in. Meaning, I'm quick to listen to her first. I have prioritized her whimper. And that's the approach that James says we need to have to God's word. We need to open the book and let him out. We need to be quick to listen to what he has to say. His word is important above all else. Be quick to listen. Are you quick to listen? He also says that we need to be slow to speak. You know what God's saying? Don't interrupt. Don't talk over me or talk when I'm talking. At some point, we have to be still and know that he is God. Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, to let your words be few in the presence of God. Be slow to speak. Let God speak. And listen to what he has to say. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and then finally slow to become angry. See, here's what we know about God's word. Because it reveals truth about him and about us, it could cause us to be defensive, and his directions, his guidelines, could actually cause anger and rebellion. And we might get angry because we think we know better than God. But Father knows best. His word, we have this idea that it's just a list of do's and don'ts. It's just stuff we have to do. But listen, God's word is actually a list of possibilities. It provides great freedom to be all that God called us to be. It is wisdom worth living. So don't get angry as if you know better or as if I know better than God. Go with it and you'll grow to depend upon it as the wisdom that leads to life. So James says, if you want to grow up and be big and strong, you have to learn to depend upon God's word by regulating your reactions to it. So listen up. Don't talk over God. And don't get angry. What God has to say can lead us all to the life we've always wanted. But listen, James also knows it's not just about regulating your physical or your emotional response to God's word. Dependence requires preparing your heart and mind to receive what he has to say. So it's not just about what happens when we hear it. It's about what we do with it when we hear it. How do we receive it? Look at verse 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Now, James says there are two things that we have to do to prepare to receive God's word and cultivate dependence upon it. First, he says we have to get rid of all moral filth. Now, I love this Greek word that is translated moral filth. It is ruparia, and it can literally be translated wax in the ear. It is earwax. And so what James is saying is, if you want to live for God, if you want to really understand what God is saying, then you've got to get the wax out of your ears. The moral filth will either distort his message or make you deaf to it. Make you deaf to it. Preventing you from receiving God's life-changing word. So you need to clean your ears out, clean your life up, so you can hear what God is saying. And the second he says, and it goes along with the first, in humility, accept the word planted in you. Now I love this. James moves from the field of medicine to the field of horticulture, as he exhorts us now to accept the word the Holy Spirit is planting in the garden of our hearts. Now, how do we accept the word? In humility. Okay, that easier said than done, I think. Because what that says is we understand that God's word is about God first. And it comes first. And it means if we're receiving it in humility, that we are being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Why? Because not listening is about me. Speaking is about me. And my anger is all about me. But humility is recognizing that what God has to say is much more important than me. Because it's God's word that makes me become, realize the significance that he created me for. So his word is much more important than what I'm doing, how I'm feeling, or what I'm thinking. So if earwax can keep God's word out, here's what we need to understand. This is why we transition to horticulture. Then weeds and briars can choke it out. Earwax keeps it out. Weeds and briars choke it out. The message is that we need to pull the weeds of distraction and the thorns of sin from our lives. And only when we have pulled the weeds from the garden of our hearts are we fully prepared to receive the perfect seed of God's word and depend upon it fully. We have to trust it. We have to depend upon it, but we can't stop there. The third thing James tells us is that we have to apply it. We have to do God's word. Look at verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word. In other words, yes, you have to do what I've been telling you to do, but not just that. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. First, he says, don't be deceived. You know, we talk a lot about deception, don't we? We're deceived by our enemy. We are deceived by other people. We're deceived thinking wrestling is real and reality TV is real. That's deception. We are victims of deceit. But, listen, here James says when it comes to the Word of God, it is different. We deceive ourselves. And here's how. Okay, I say to myself, well, I've trusted God's Word, so I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm all right. And, by the way, I'm learning to depend upon God's Word. I'm doing my devotions most of the time, praying. And so, I think I've done what I need to do. I've created some space in the garden of my heart for God's Word. So, I've done my part, and now I'm sure I'm gonna grow up. I'm well on the way. But man, it seems like I'm stuck in the mud because I've kind of been here a long time. Why am I not growing up? Why am I really no different? I seem to be doing the same dumb things over and over and over again. What's wrong? Listen, if we don't harvest the fruit that grows in the garden of our hearts, if we don't apply it to our lives, consume it in our souls, then we are deceiving ourselves. And at this point, there is a lot of deception in the body of Christ. I believe that today we would rather know the truth than obey it. We would rather know the Word and win at Bible trivia than stand on and for the truth. Listen, we may believe it. We may be saved by it. We may receive it. But I'm not always sure we follow it. Listen, if we followed God's Word, it would affect everything. It would affect our finances. You could find proof in your checkbook. It would affect the words we use, the way we talk about and think about other people. It would affect what we look at and what we long for. It would affect what we listen to. If our working knowledge of God's Word doesn't go to work, then James says we are deceived and it means nothing. Now, look at his illustration in verse 23. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and inexplicably, immediately forgets what he looks like. Now, here's a guy. He got up in the morning knowing that he wasn't going to be on a Zoom call. He was actually going to meet people in person. And so, he looks in the mirror to get himself sorted out. And what does he see? His hair's all matted. He needs to shave and perhaps be groomed. The reality is, he needs a complete overhaul of his appearance. By the way, that's the information that the mirror was designed to provide. It's critical to take that information and respond to it. Why wouldn't we? If we're not going to respond to what we see, then why waste our time looking? But not this guy. He takes a look and walks away, refusing to respond to what the mirror revealed. It's not just sad, it's inexplicable. But listen. That guy's not the point. We are. The point is that many of us are like that guy with God's word. We look at it, we listen to it, we talk about it, but we don't do anything with it. We never let it penetrate our hearts and affect our decision making. God's word does not return void, and it's producing beautiful fruit in our garden, but we're never harvesting it. It is sad and virtually inexplicable because it makes no sense to deny ourselves the beauty of what happens when we choose obedience. Look what happens when we take God's word in. Verse 25, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, that man will be blessed in all he does. Blessed in what he does with the word. With the word. Now, this may be counterintuitive, but God does not think like we do. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His wisdom, life-changing wisdom. The perfect law of God, and that word law makes us feel confined and restrained. But what James is saying is the perfect law of God, the wisdom of God, actually provides freedom for us. It helps us grow up to become all that God has called us to be. We say this all the time, but do you know when the train is freest to be the train? It's when it's on the tracks. David said in Psalm 119, I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. David understood that God's word gives freedom. It's not restrictive and confining. It doesn't prevent us from being who God called us. It actually enables us to live in freedom, the freedom that our hearts desire. God's word, his perfect law, helps us to grow up. So we're not arrested as little children, but we become men and women of God, mature and complete, not lacking anything. So, let's go back to the question that we're going to get real about today. Have we let God out? Have you let God out by opening the scripture and inviting him to impact your thinking and your doing? Have you let him out to let him in? Or have you left him out? Faith in Jesus, the Word made flesh, makes us children of God. It's placing our faith in Jesus Christ that puts us on this beautiful journey of redemption, where we are changed and God uses us to change the world around us. It begins with faith in Jesus. But let's run in the path of his commands. See, living by his word makes us adult children. It makes us mature and complete, not lacking anything. Have you let God out to let him in? Or have you left him out? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we are so thankful that according to your divine wisdom and perfect plan, because of your love, you revealed to us the path of redemption, forgiveness for our sins, connection with you as your children. We are thankful for Jesus, Lord. We celebrated the work he did to make us children today. We are grateful. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone that's gathered around this truth today that has yet to place their faith in you, I pray that today they would trust the finished work of Christ and they would no longer be aliens to you, enemies against you, but they would become children by letting Christ be the Lord of their lives. Father, for those of us who have been following you, who are wondering, like, why are we stuck in the mud? Why have I stopped growing and changing? Why is there so little fruit, so little evidence of God's power in my life? Lord, help us today as we look in the mirror of your word to be honest and evaluate. Are we trusting your word? Are we depending upon your word? And, Father, are we doing your word? Lord, we want to grow up in respect to our salvation. Right now, Lord, we're committing to do our part. Help us to crave your word, the spiritual nourishment that is your truth. And help us to live it. It's in the strong name of Jesus I pray. Amen. I'm really honored to be able to share this God's truth with you today. And just as a word of testimony, I've lived this journey. There was a season when I was away and doing my own thing, and then God graciously called me back to live according to his word. And I don't do it perfectly. There are some days, some moments are better than others. But God gets that. And that's why the scripture tells us his mercies are new every morning. He is great and faithful. And no matter where you are, whether you're just beginning your journey or whether you've been journeying with him for a long time and you've turned away and you're wandering around, listen, today's the day to come back. What God's word teaches us is that we are like the prodigal son, and he's like the father who is waiting on us to turn to him, and he will run toward us to set us free. We know about that love and that freedom through his word. I want to challenge you to read it. We're going to be in the book of James for the foreseeable future, so read it. Ask God to reveal truth to you and to give you the courage to live it. Listen, God bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. And I'll see you back here next Sunday morning as we celebrate Mother's Day. Have a great day and stay in God's word.